discerning of spirits. Didn't we have a good time last week? Last week we had an awesome time, and if you were not here, I want to encourage you to go back and check out that message, because we laid some foundation. We're going to lay a lot more foundation today, okay? And again, like I said, this is a deeper message, but I believe that not only are you ready, but I believe that the world is ready, because we have people that are spiritual. You may not be religious, but they're spiritual, and we want to bring the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, to understanding spiritual things. And a lot of times you may have been encountering spiritual warfare and not understanding that that's what you have been encountering. And so we want to just encourage you to connect with us. And I want you to open your hearts, because we're going to lay some foundation today. So I hope you have your Bible. Amen. All right. So let's get into it. We're just going to review a little bit of last week. We begin to talk about discernment and what that meant. And then we looked in the Advanced English Dictionary initially, and we talked about how it's the ability to scrutinize, to distinguish, to recognize, to differentiate, to identify something, or to categorize it. That's what discern means. It's the ability to make a difference, to tell what something is, to distinguish it from another thing, and why it is so key for us to have discernment in this season. We're in the midst of uncharted territory. We're in the midst of, a pandemic. We're in times that we've never seen before in our lifetime. And it is so important for God's people to discern the signs of the time, to discern the season that we're in, to discern between good and evil. And we talked about all the different areas where we need to discern. And one of them was also the discerning of spirits. We talked about how discerning is a critical life skill that everybody needs. Somebody say everybody needs it. Discernment, everybody needs. Discernment will protect you from physical, emotional, and spiritual danger. It will protect you. It'll protect you in business. It'll protect you in social situations. You need discernment. You need discernment. You need to know when something's off. You need to know when something's not right. You need to know when you need to make an about face. You need to know when something needs to shift, or when someone is not for your good. You need it. It's a critical life skill. It will protect you from emotional and spiritual danger. And we talked about that there are three kinds of discernment. There are three kinds of discernment. We talked about human discernment, which is the discernment that every human being has, whether saved or unsaved. It's also known as your intuition, right? And we talked about how that natural human discernment before salvation needs to be sanctified once you come to the Lord, because if your human discernment or your human intuition is not sanctified, that discernment can also be discrimination or unjust discrimination, maybe stereotyping, or because of a experience that you went through, or something detrimental that you went through, it shaped your discernment. And so you have a skewed view of things, right? But you do have human discernment. Then we talked about the gift of discernment. This is the gift of discernment that we will spend more time on today. 1 Corinthians 12 and 10 talks about the gift of discernment, which is the discerning of spirits, where the Holy Spirit gives you a supernatural endowment, a gifting to help you to discern between spirits. And then we also talked about trained in discernment. I specified that, but we'll go into being trained in discernment. So you can have human discernment, the gift of discernment, or you can be trained in discernment. All right. We talked about the discerning experience in 1 Corinthians 12 and 10. And the reason that you would need to discern and distinguish between spirits is because there are different kinds of spirits. You will discern between angelic spirits. You can discern demonic spirits, right? And you can also discern between human spirits, right? You can discern what someone is like. You can pick up their spirit. Are you with me? You can have that discernment. And these giftings can be there even before you're saved. And like I said, they just have to be sanctified. You'll pick up things about people, and you'll know something about them. They haven't said it. You're just picking up their spirit. And this is what the discerning of spirits is for. And the reason why we need the discerning of spirits is we found in Matthew chapter 17, verse number 20, where Jesus, where the disciples were trying to cast a demon out of this particular young man whose father had come to them and said, he's having epilepsy. He's this demon is throwing him into fire and into water and killing him and or wanting to kill him. And your disciples couldn't cast him out. And they came to the, you know, Jesus cast the spirit out, and his disciples came to him afterward and said, well, Jesus, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, he says, this kind does not go out but by prayer and fasting. And we found out that this kind is the Greek word genos, which refers to a particular class or species of spirit. And so that lets us know there are different kinds of spirits, some more diabolical, some more evil than others, some that have different regions they like to be in all different kinds of things. Are you with me? So there are different kinds. Somebody say this kind. So there are these different kinds of spirits. We talked about, I just referred to the lunatic spirit or deaf and dumb spirit. The scripture talks about the spirit of infirmity. The Bible begins to talk about different kinds of spirits and how they need to be addressed. And you, as a believer, need to be able to discern what kind of spirit that you are dealing with so that you know when you are encountering it and how you need to adjust your approach, your behavior, your actions, your response, based upon the kind of spirit that you may be encountering. You could be encountering these spirits in a house, on a job, in a business transaction, in a relationship. You need to know what you're doing. Maybe a particular spirit concerning your child. There are seducing spirits. There are teaching spirits. And then we kind of really laid in on familiar spirits. I touched on it. We're going to spend the bulk of our time there, but I've got to lay a little bit more foundation as we talk about these kinds of spirits. And so I want to talk to you. We got to the end and I talked a little bit about delaying spirits and kingdom pace. And I kind of rushed through some of that. And I want to make sure that I don't rush through this series. I want to take my time and lay the proper foundation so that you can really comprehend, especially with me again, teaching this on a secular platform that I did not intend to teach this on. But I need to make sure that I lay the proper foundation, and I'm not going to rush. Somebody say, Pastor, don't rush. Amen. So I want to talk to you about kingdom pace. The kingdom is so important because everything we're doing is based upon the kingdom. We have in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 19, the Bible talks about that when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then he says something. He says, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. I will give to you, talking about the disciples, the keys of the kingdom. And these keys, he talks about the ability, they would give us the ability to bind and to loose. They would give us power to bind and to loose. And whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So you, as a believer, collectively with the body of Christ, we have keys. Somebody say, I've got keys. These keys give you the power to bind and to loose. And you can bind and you can loose by the power of God. Are you with me? And so you have these keys to do this. Now, one of the primary marks of believers, listen to me, one of the primary marks of believers is to cast out demons. Jesus said himself in Mark chapter 16, verse number 17, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. The first thing he says as one of the signs of his followers would be to cast out demons. So he had to give you keys. And one of the ways that people are going to know that you have power is that you can cast out demons. The one of the ways they're going to mark to know that you belong to Jesus or that Jesus is with you is when you can cast out demons. Are you with me? So Jesus said, he even went further in Luke 11. We're going to turn there now. Jesus said that the kingdom of God will be known by casting out demons. Casting out demons. Let's look there. Luke chapter 11, verse number 17. This is right after Jesus had cast out a demon in another section of scripture. And the Pharisees and Sadducees that were there later questioned whether he would, by what power he was casting them out. And they questioned whether he was casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. And in verse, Number 17, Jesus responds to this accusation. He says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself will fall. In verse number 18, it says, if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? because you say I cast out demons by Beelzebub. He's like, if I'm casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, this is what he's paraphrasing. He says, I'm working against myself. I'm working against my own house. He says, it doesn't make any sense, right? No house works against itself. So why would Satan be casting out demons? That's what Jesus's logic is here. And in verse number 19, he says, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, then by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. Here's where I want you to focus on in verse number 20. He says, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So what Jesus is saying here, one of the marks of knowing that the kingdom of God is here is demons get cast out. The kingdom of God is unseating demons, taking territory from demons. In other words, when demons are filled in the heart or the soul of a man, and then that demon is ousted by the power of God, you know the kingdom has come because it just planted the flag of the kingdom of God in the heart of a man by ousting a demonic spirit. Right? So in other words, casting out spirits, having power over demonic forces is one of the ways that the world will know that we belong to God and the kingdom of God has actually come. So there's a lot of churches talking about, I'm kingdom. But if you're not casting out spirits, if you're not unseating power, then the kingdom of God has not come. The finger of God is one of the many symbolic names of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was casting out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he gave this power to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 10, where he talks about the discerning of spirits. So you need the discerning of spirits so you can cast that spirit out, because sometimes this kind won't come out but by prayer and fasting. Are you listening to me? Are you staying with me? So I want you to see the connection between the kingdom and dealing with these demons. Now let's look at this word kingdom. I talked about this last week very quickly, but I want to lay the foundation. The Greek word for kingdom is the word basileia. Basileia, all right? And it simply refers to the realm of rule or the realm of power of a particular kingdom. So when you talk about kingdom, you're talking about it's God's realm of authority. But we're going to drill down to the root word, which is basileus. And it speaks to, listen to me, through the notion of a foundation of power. So it's not just talking about the realm, but that next root word there speaks to the foundation of it, right? The foundation. So when you say kingdom, you're talking about the realm and you're talking about the foundation. But let's go one further. If you go to the next one here, there's another root word. The very bottom of the root of the word is basis. Basis. We know this word in our own English. It's untranslated. We call things the basis of what I'm saying, right? And it speaks further to foundation, but look at what it says. It means here a pace or the foot, the pace, the walk, or the foot. So in other words, when you say kingdom, you are speaking not only of the power, but you're also speaking to the foundation, or you're speaking to the base, or in other words, the foot of the kingdom. I want you to catch this. The foot of the kingdom, the pace of the kingdom. In other words, pace, the foot of the kingdom has a pace to it. There's a walk that the kingdom has. There's a pace that the kingdom has. There is a cadence and a rhythm that the kingdom of God has. Are you listening to me? So he says, you'll know that the kingdom of God has come because it casts out demons. And when you say the word kingdom, you're talking about the power, you're talking about the foundation, and you're talking about the foot. Now, this is why, this will make sense in just a second, why I was talking about the pace and why I'm talking about the speed of the kingdom and why I'm talking about the foot. Because in scripture, there is quite a bit of context as it relates to the significance of feet in scripture. They'll put this up real quick. I'm just going to refer to it very quickly. We're going to talk about the foot of the kingdom. Do you remember in Romans 10:15, where the scripture says that they that carry the gospel of peace or the gospel of the kingdom would be known to have beautiful feet? Beautiful are the feet of them that carry the gospel of peace. Now you know why when it talks about the gospel, it's talking about the feet, because it was talking about the kingdom. Are you listening to me? And then in John 1:27, remember when John saw Jesus before he baptized him, he said to everyone, he says, I'm not even worthy to tie his sandal straps. The reason he said that is because he was talking about the feet of Jesus, which represented the kingdom. And he said, listen, the part of the kingdom that he's bringing, the part of the power that he's bringing, I'm not even worthy to touch it. Because the feet were symbolic of the kingdom. Are you with me? And then you see here that in John 13:5 further, before Jesus ended his earthly ministry, after they had had the supper, the Last Supper, one of the things that Jesus did is he went to go wash his disciples' feet. Do you remember that? They were washing his feet. And, you know, some people still like to have foot washing services and things like that. And as a sign of humility. But it wasn't just about the humility and the serving, though that is one part of it. I'm trying to let you know that prophetically, Jesus was saying, I got to prepare your feet because your feet represent the kingdom. So I have to wash your feet. And proof of that is, remember, Peter said, Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. There's no way I can let you wash my feet. And in verse number 8, I believe he says to him, if I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part in my kingdom. You'll have no part with me. Why is Jesus saying that? Because he's saying, listen, you guys are going to be carrying the gospel of peace. You got to have beautiful feet, and the sandals that I have on, you have to have them on. So if I don't wash your feet, Peter, guess what? You are not going to have any part with me. Why? Because the kingdom was represented by their feet. Further, proof of that in Matthew 10:14, remember Jesus told them, if you go into a city and you preach the gospel of the kingdom, and that city or that house rejects the word of God, he said, shake the dust off of your what? Feet. Why? Because the kingdom was represented by the feet. And if you rejected the gospel of the kingdom, it was seen as dust upon your feet. Am I proving my point here? The foot and the kingdom were connected. The pace of the kingdom were connected. And if we'll turn here, let's turn to this scripture, Genesis 3:15. You remember when after Adam and Eve had fallen, and when God found out that Satan had tricked them, and this was part of the curse of Satan. Look at this. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and she shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Key point here, spiritual warfare started against Jesus's feet. Are you seeing the connection here? Are you seeing how we're laying the doctrine? Why is it important? Yet we're still talking about discerning of spirits. I want you to stay with me, but we need to understand that there's a connection between a kingdom and feet, and why the enemy, spiritual warfare, started against feet. Why? Because he wasn't just attacking Jesus's feet. He was attacking the kingdom. Spiritual warfare started against feet. Oh, you know, scripture's coming to my mind right now when the Bible says, when he tells him, stay here where Jesus, where God says to Jesus, sit here until I make your enemies your footstool. In other words, I'm going to put my feet on the enemy. In other words, I'm going to bring people into the kingdom. And that's what we're here doing. We're here. Every time a believer gets saved, he is bringing a soul into the kingdom. The enemy, catch this, again, was not just attacking just his heel. He was attacking the kingdom. So in other words, the kingdom represented by the foot has a specific pace. It has a specific speed. Your purpose and your destiny has a timing, and you have got to be on time to meet God for your appointed time. God's Kairos, his time, and Chronos, our time, come together to have what is called the appointed time. And the enemy knows that you have an assignment. He knows you have an appointment. So he sends, catch this, spirits after you based upon what your assignment is to delay your pace. To delay your assignment, to delay your timing, to get you out of sync, to get you off course, whatever he can to get you to deviate from your assignment, he is delaying the kingdom. Are you listening to me? And this is what I call delaying spirits, the spirit of delay. And you need to understand when you have encountered a delaying spirit, a spirit that has come not necessarily to stop you because it can't stop what God is doing, but he can make you late. He can have you delayed. He can have you using your faith and spinning your wheels on something that has no benefit and produces no fruit. It's a delay. He's trying to hold you back. The enemy wants to hold you back so you miss your appointed time. And this could be why when the enemy attacks, it's called a foothold. Are you catching this? Oh my goodness. Remember Ephesians 4 and 26 says, be angry and do not sin, nor give a place to the devil. When you look, or an opportunity to the devil. So when we open the door and the enemy is able to come in, it is called a foothold. And that's exactly what he's doing. Holding the feet of believers, delaying the kingdom. Key point here. Don't let the enemy get a foothold. Because once he gets a hold of your kingdom assignment, he's going to hold it and delay it and keep you what they call paralyzed, sitting in the same place, not moving. I look at Lot. Lot, although, you know, that was Abraham's adopted son, he was a delayer. He slowed down Abraham's assignment. Isaac could have been born earlier. There was a time where God even stopped talking to Abraham until he separated from Lot. Are you listening to me? And you have to recognize there could be some people, if you're able to discern spirits, there could be some people in your life that you are even related to that are delayers. Friends that are in your life that are delayers. And you need the discerning of spirits to recognize, is this person delaying me? Is this person allowing the enemy to get a foothold in my life? You can't keep the pace if your feet are held. Discernment will help you keep the devil out of your mix. Discernment will help you keep the enemy out of your appointment book. You can't defend against an enemy that you cannot recognize. And this is why we need the discerning of spirits. In order to discern and distinguish these spirits, we must be trained in discernment. That was the one that we hadn't touched on yet. Discernment, catch this, will end delays. Once you can discern what something is, once you can discern who someone is, once you can discern the strategy of the enemy, the Bible says, do not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And if you don't know his devices to delay you, listen, you will continue to fall into the same trap. Sometimes, because we lack discernment, the enemy never has to change his strategy. We just keep falling into the same thing. Are you listening to me? And so we have to make sure that we can discern so we can stop being delayed. Let's talk about this trained in discernment. We're going to rock real quick here. Hebrews 5 and 12. Now you understand, as you're turning there, why the kingdom is so important and why part of the main reasons that he gave us keys to the kingdom is so that we could cast out demons, because they delay the pace. Hebrews 5 and 12. Are you there? For, read this with me. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, or you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or a baby. But solid food, say it with me, solid food, belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason, read this with me, that is, those who by reason use their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. Now, this is a loaded passage here. We touched on it when we were talking about the fear of the Lord. We're coming back here now. But verse 14 again. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In the Amplified Version, I'm just going to read it for you. The Amplified Version says, but solid food is for full grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary to the divine or human law. All right. So it says, in other words, this passage of scripture is saying you can be trained in the word of God to discern. He's saying, listen, I got some solid food for you. If you, in other words, if you want to get off this milk, let's move to solid food. And the solid food, if you eat this, which belongs to grown men, which belongs to those that are spiritually mature, it will train your senses to discern both good and evil. We going somewhere. Stay with me. Now, I want you to understand, in other words, it's saying the word will heighten your spiritual senses and your mental faculties. The Word of God. Now, if you look at this word discern, we're going to look at it in the Advanced English Dictionary. Just find out what it is in the English Dictionary. It says discern, the word discern, not discernment, but just the word discern means to detect with the senses. It simply means to detect with the senses, or using your senses to spot, to recognize, to distinguish, to pick out, or to tell apart, to make out what something is. That's what it means. So even in the English dictionary, it says you cannot discern without your senses. Now, I want to look at what it is in the Hebrew. There are about three, technically there's four, but we're going to talk about three, three Hebrew words to represent or that explain what discernment is. But I want you to see these clearly. All right. And the first one is bain, or pronounced bin, right? B-I-Y-N. It means to mentally separate, or to separate mentally. In other words, to think about something and set up or separate what something is, to calculate what it is, right? And this word is used in 1 Kings 3:7. This was the type of word that was used when Solomon prayed for wisdom and how to discern how to lead God's people. This is in 1 Kings 3:7-9, okay? And this is the word ben, which means to mentally separate. The second one is the word shama, shama, S-H-A-M-A. It means to hear intelligently. All right. And this is used in 2 Samuel 4:17. And this is referring to a gentleman who was old in age, and he was saying that he was able to discern. But it's using the word shama, which means to hear intelligently. The first one means to separate mentally. The second one, shama, means to hear intelligently. Now, remember, to discern means to distinguish using your senses. In the Hebrew, the first one was to separate mentally. The second one means to hear intelligently. And then the third one, nakar, it means to scrutinize or to look intently, to look intently. Stay with me. All right. And you see this in Genesis 27 and 23. Remember when Isaac was getting ready to bless Esau, but Jacob dressed up like he was Esau, and Isaac's eyes, check this out, Isaac's eyes were dim. And so he heard the voice of Jacob, but the scripture says in Genesis 27:23, but he felt like, Esau because he was hairy. And the scripture says he did not discern him. In other words, he couldn't look intently at him because he was close to blind at that time. Right. And so this one means to look intently. And then, so now we have to separate mentally, to hear, to look. What are these all having common? They're different senses. And I said, Lord, what about taste and smell? Well, he took me to Job 6:30. Job, I want you to catch this. Job in the Amplified Version says, is there wrong on my tongue? Cannot my taste discern what is destructive? You mean he used his taste to discern destructive words? When he was checking what was going on, because all this hell was breaking out in his life, he wanted to discern what was going on. He says, wait a minute, I know I ain't said nothing wrong. I can taste destruction. And then what about smell? Well, remember, we were talking about Jesus when he was filled with the Spirit in Isaiah chapter 11, or referred to the type of the Holy Spirit or the seven administrations of the Holy Spirit that would be upon Jesus. In verse 3, Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 3, it says his delight is in the fear of the Lord. And it referred to the fragrance of the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. So in other words, stay with me. Jesus could smell the fear of the Lord on people. He could discern who they were, what they were really about, what their intentions were, what their real life was about, based upon the fragrance. He discerned using spiritual senses. So if we take all of these and put them together, discern in the Hebrew and in the Bible means a mental separation. You can hear, you can look, you can taste, and you can smell. So in other words, the scripture says, just like you have five natural organ senses or natural senses, the scripture is saying that you have those same spiritual senses. You can taste destruction. You can smell the fear of the Lord. You can smell when something's wrong. And these all can be awakened by the kind of food that you eat spiritually. Stay with me, people of God. Are you seeing this? Spiritual discernment will require an awakening of your senses. But this scripture in Hebrews 5:12 lets us know something, and that is discernment is in the food. Discernment is in the food. This is why it says solid food belongs to those who are full grown, and by reason of use, it will train you to know the difference and discern between good and evil. Solid food trains the senses. But it says solid food belongs to those who are full grown. Are you full grown? Are you ready to be trained in your discernment? Have you been missing things all along? It's saying if you're missing things all along, you could be eating the wrong food. 1 John 2:12. I'm going to help you now. I'm going to help you out here. 1 John 2:12. Are you ready to be trained in your discernment? Are you ready to be awakened in your senses? Are you ready to turn on your spiritual smell and your spiritual taste and your spiritual eyes and your spiritual perception? Are you tired of just looking at things through natural eyes? It's the discernment is in the food. 1 John 2:12. Let's talk about what it means when it says full grown. 1 John 2:12 says, I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. Let's read it one more time. I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Verse 13, I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. The Apostle John is here now writing to three different groups for three different reasons, because they're on three different levels. What you have here in the same passage, he actually repeats the same statement twice. And all three times, or both times, he talks about the children, the young men, and the fathers. And when you study this out, you begin to find out it's connected to Hebrews 5:12, where he talks about you babies on milk are, you know, you're a babe because you're still eating milk. But I'm talking to those who are full grown. I'm talking to the mature. And further on in that verse, he says, let us not lay in Hebrews 6, let us not lay again the elementary principles and let's move on to the deeper things. He's talking to a certain group of people. There are three levels of spiritual development, and they're right here in the scripture. If they'll put that up, it's children, young men, and fathers. I want you to stay with me. I want you to stay with me because we're going to connect some dots today. Three spiritual levels, children, young men, and there are fathers. Do you know where you are? The scripture clearly tells you. Let's go to the next one. Just like there are three spiritual levels, there are three spiritual concentrations when you're on a particular level. When you are a child, you are focused on forgiveness. He says, I'm writing to you because your sins are forgiven. I'm writing to you young men because you're overcoming the wicked one. But I'm writing to you fathers because you have known who is from the beginning. Or in other words, you have intimate knowledge of who God is. In other words, babes in Christ are always focused on just their sins being forgiven. They spend a lot of time focused on their sins. They spend a lot of time at the altar. They spend a lot of time trying to just make sure they're still saved, and their salvation is constantly in question for them because they're babes. They're learning right from wrong. They're learning, oh, I can't do that anymore. I can't go there anymore. I shouldn't dress like this. I shouldn't talk like that. I shouldn't put these kinds of pictures on my Instagram or my Facebook. I'm still learning what kind of friends, because right now we're still in the forgiveness of sins. But young men are overcoming the wicked one. They're no longer focused on the same sins. Their concentration is different because they're at another spiritual level. And then you have fathers is like, we're past the sin and overcoming stuff. Right now, we just want to know who he is. Right now, we're focused on his nature. It is no longer, see, when you're a father, you're no longer focused on what God can do for you. When you're a father, you're focused on what you can do for God. We've left those elementary things behind. We're no longer on the milk of the word. Are you staying with me? All right. So now here's the thing. There's three different spiritual concentrations. But then if you go to my next one here, and the reason why is there's three different food levels. There are three different spiritual levels talked about in scripture as it relates to spiritual food. Children on milk. They're on the milk of the word. You see that all throughout scripture. Young men are on the bread. They've moved to solid food, but they're not yet on meat. And then fathers eat the meat of the word. Jesus was a father. Remember when he was sitting with the woman at the well and his disciples went away to go get something to eat? And when they came back to him after he had finished ministering, they said, Jesus, you need to eat. He says, I have meat that you know not of. I have food to eat that you know not of. Jesus at another time says, my meat is to do the will of the Father. Milk, bread, and meat. So in other words, your spiritual maturity is based upon what you eat. And Hebrews 5:12 is saying that solid food is for those that are mature. And if you eat solid food, it will exercise and train those spiritual organs to look at intently, to hear, to smell, to taste, and to discern using all of those spiritual senses, because the word, the teaching will awaken things. You will recognize things differently. Stay with your boy. Stay with your boy. Now, let's connect these with something called divine triads. There are divine triads all throughout the scripture. Have you noticed that God tends to do things in threes? Well, there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? Milk, bread, meat, right? Children, young men, fathers. Well, they're all connected. I put it here on the slide for you. Divine triads. Again, you know, I've had to fight to keep the copyright on this, but the Lord gave this to me. Amen. And if you see this and are feeling like God is calling you to ministry, please do not take my stuff. Amen. So praise the Lord. I had somebody try to take this from me once, and hallelujah. Thank God for Kim Allen, my armor bearer, who helped them out real good. All right. So if you look here, you look at the correlation here. You have children. They're on milk. It's not solid food. They're getting 30-fold return. I know we'll be talking about the scripture talks about in Matthew chapter 13 of this, the parable of the sower of the seed. We find out that the seed is the word. And then it says, and some get 30, 60, 100 fold. When we talk about 30, 60, 100 fold, it's talking about a return on the word that has been sown in your heart. So when you're getting milk, you're only going to get 30 fold. Why? Because the milk, you're only concentrated on your sins being forgiven. It's good for a season, but how long are you going to be satisfied with just not sinning? Oh, how long are you going to be satisfied? Well, you know, I did. It's been 3 weeks and I didn't do it. Listen, that's great for babes because they're just learning to walk. They're just learning to control their emotions. They're just learning how to not be moved by their flesh and their feelings. They're just learning. They're still on the milk of the word. And did you notice that the Bible says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Well, when you look at the temple of Solomon and the temple, or the tabernacle, it had three parts. It had the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Do you notice on the outer court, the only thing they did out there was burn flesh. It was the altar. And so when you're a child, guess all you're dealing with? You're only dealing with the milk of the word. You're only worried about your sins for being forgiven. And the only thing you're doing is putting flesh on the altar. And remember, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to think about this. I submit for your consideration that he's the way, the truth, and the life in that order. Some people only know Jesus the way. They have never encountered Jesus, the truth. You encounter Jesus, the truth, at the next level of young men. You're now eating bread. You're now on the solid food. You're now getting 60-fold return. You've now moved into the holy place. And when you went into the holy place, what was in there? The showbread. And why? The reason you're overcoming the wicked one is because now you are focused on Jesus, the truth. He's telling you the truth about yourself. He's bringing you to the truth about who you are. He's bringing you to the truth about your past and about your intents. He's dealing with, now you're overcoming the sin, not just thanking God, oh, I thank God that I'm forgiven of my sins. Now it's like, I'm tired of sinning. I'm ready to move forward into some other things. But what will change that is solid food. And the reason you start overcoming as a young man, and when this talks about young men, it's not, this is genderless. This is men and women, male and female can be young men spiritually. Are you listening to me? The reason you start overcoming because solid food changes your discernment. And therefore you're able to recognize things you could not recognize before. Oh, stay with me. Stay with me. You're able to recognize I'm not falling into sin because now I can smell sin coming. I can taste where this conversation is going. And I've already I discern it now. Before I didn't recognize it, but because I've been eating at a certain spiritual level now, I'm recognizing the enemy, even though he's dressed up as a sheep. I see that it's a wolf. I know that when the girl DM me, I smell that. I see that already. Nope. Not falling into that one again. Fell through that when I was a child, but I'm not on milk anymore. I'm eating different spiritual food. My trainer has taught me how to recognize, how to discern. I know that scheme. I know that plot. I can taste this. I can smell this. I can see this a mile off. You know, when you started to grow up, say, no, I didn't see that. I've been bit by that one. I've had my feet held by that too long. That's not going to delay me anymore. I'm overcoming now. Oh, I remember when I started to become a young man. And listen, you could be a young man in the spirit and 50 years old in the natural. Spiritual development has nothing to do with age. It has to do with tenacity, not your 10-year. Listen to me. Fathers, they're on the meat. They're on solid fold. Now they're getting a 100-fold return. Listen, they have intimate knowledge of God. They moved into the holy of holies. There were three veils in the temple. You got to go through all three of them. I don't have time to talk about that today. But listen, now you've moved into the life. Don't you? The Bible says, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Some believers never experience the abundant life because it's for fathers. You don't even know the fullness. See, when you're a child, you think that the scripture, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Check this. You think that that has to do with blessings. But fathers know the reward is the Lord. He is my reward. Time with him, presence with him talking to me. That's all the reward I need, because wisdom from him, time with him produces wealth, produces money. I ain't worried about no car or no house. If I have him, he produces all that. He is Jehovah Jireh. See, when you're at different spiritual levels, your motivation is different. And listen, you will be able, God will awaken your senses, and things that used to trick you before won't trick you anymore. You'll begin to recognize it. Here's the thing. As you get closer to God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. As you get closer to God, what will begin to happen is not only will you be able to discern other spirits, you'll be able to discern your own spirit. Because see, some of you are trying to discern spirits and you don't even know who you are. You don't know what kind of spirits are coming after you because you don't even know what you're carrying. Because you're only focused on, oh, my sins are forgiven. And we thank God that our sins are forgiven. But God did not put you here to just try to stop sinning. Your purpose is not to just try to stop sinning. Your purpose, listen, is to go forth and do the kingdom work and get out of these footholds. Quit being delayed. Quit having your pace delayed because you keep falling into bad relationships and bad business deals and moving from place to place and moving from job to job. And you're not stable. Grown folks are stable. Moving from church to church because you don't want to grow up. Oh, I hope y'all are ready for this. Solid food will train your senses to discern evil spirits. You'll be like Job and be able to taste destruction. Oh, listen to me. You can see the setup from afar off. You can smell, you can hear trouble when it's coming. Oh, I know that spirit. I know what I'm carrying. So listen, once I figured out what I was carrying, I knew what kind of spirits were coming off, would come after me. So I would recognize Jezebel's spirits right away. I would recognize Adonijah's spirits. Oh, we don't talk about them. You don't know those spirits yet, but I'm going to train you to discern them. And it's going to be important for you to know who you are in God and know what spiritual level you are. Listen, God is ready for you to get off that milk. If you're a babe in Christ, there's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ in its appropriate time and season. But there is a season to get off milk. There is a season to move to the solid food. It's time for you to start overcoming. And once you begin to overcome, the reason you're able to overcome is because you begin to discern. I think about Ezekiel, the prophet. I want you to notice when God was getting ready to call him in Ezekiel 3:3, when he's getting ready to send him, he took a scroll, his word. And what did he say? Open your mouth. Put this scroll in your mouth. Eat it. And the Bible says that it was like honey in his stomach. Then he says, now I want you to go speak. The same thing happened in Revelations 10:10 with John, the apostle. Remember, he was the youngest. He was the youngest among all the apostles. But once he became the apostle in Revelations, he had to eat a book. What does that tell us? When God is raising up the prophetic people, the first thing he does is feed them before he sends them. Are you a prophetic people? Do you have a prophetic assignment? Doesn't mean you have to be the office of a prophet, but we are prophetic people in a prophetic season that need prophetic discernment. And what he did to his prophets before he sent them, even Isaiah, what did he do? He touched his mouth with something. Solid food grows you up. Key point here, a new spiritual level requires a new spiritual diet. If you know God has called you, he's called you to great things, you got to change your diet. Fountain is a church for you if you're looking for solid food. I know how to cut it up to help you understand it, but it's time for you to get to solid food so you can be trained in discernment. And as we go through this series, I'm going to begin to open up and unpack scripture to help you see things that you may not have seen, hear things that you may not have heard, know things that you may not have known, and discern certain spirits. We're going to walk through the scripture because it's solid food that's going to awaken those senses. And you're going to stop being trapped and held back and delayed. It's time for the cycle of delay and hold back to end now in the name of Jesus. The discernment is in the food. And God has connected you to this house to get you to another level of eating so you can live at another level. You can't live at another level eating baby food. In the name of Jesus.
God bless you. This is Pastor Jaron Christopher O'Neill. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But I trust that this message has touched your heart and reached you at your point of need. I pray that God will continue to minister to you as you meditate on this word. Remember, you can build your faith by hearing in repetition. But right now, I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please repeat this prayer after me with all the faith you have in your heart. Let's begin. Dear Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize I have sinned and I cannot save myself. So I put my faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross for me, and the blood he shed washed away my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and that he's coming back again. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, and I make a commitment to live for you. Amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time, according to Romans 10:9-10, You are saved by confession of your faith. So now it's time for you to get planted in a church home where you can continue to grow. So I would like to invite you to worship with us at Fountain of Love Christian Center every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. To connect with us, please visit us at www.allinthefountain.com. And to connect with me and get more powerful messages, please visit me at www.jarronceoneal.com. That's JarronceOneal.com. Listen, I look forward to seeing you soon. But until then, remember this, everything you need is in the fountain.